Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Remaining Airborne Through IT. Our guests for today's show are Jerry Cody and Santiago Antianon. And Jerry is the Vice President and CIO of Frontier Airlines Holding, and Santiago is the Executive Vice President and CIO of Mexicana Airlines. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how's the week going so far? Keeping busy?
Yeah, from my perspective here in Denver, every week is a busy week. obviously, it's a very dynamic market, lots of things changing, so moving between strategic intent and operational activities are kind of the way the day goes.
How about you?
And for us in Mexico City, it's always hectic, although the peak season of travelers is not right now. We're always having a lot of things to do. We are in the middle of a turnaround at Mexicana, so we keep ourselves busy.
So, you know, the very industry is not seeing the best of its times, and of course, it's a very demanding environment where you would want to have the best customer service, you want excellent and immaculate scheduling of planes so that we're never late, and also you want a painless reservation systems, and on top of it, you want dirt cheap price. If it were me, I would not want to pay anything to fly. And all that you want to have, and then are we trying to get too much, or are we trying to demand too much? Is it being realistic? Jerry?
Well, I would say certainly I think the important thing for the airline industry is to really focus on what its brand is and what its product is. Customers do want an experience. I think it's interesting that you say you don't want to pay anything. Obviously, there has to be a fair price. It's not a cheap industry. The products cost a lot. So I think people should be targeting more to be able to pay a fair price for the products and the services they receive from the airline and be willing to accept what they get from the lower value, the higher value, etc. But I do think right now with prices being very competitive, I actually think the customer is getting a very good deal.
Cynthia?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the customer has every right to demand what they need. Obviously, there's different aspects to this. To these needs. I mean, if you are flying 2 hours versus flying 12 hours, it's not the same thing that that you demand, and you'd probably be willing to pay for some services at a 12-hour flight or a 10-hour flight, then you would never be willing to pay a 2-hour or 3-hour flight. So I don't think it's too much to demand for that. On the contrary, I think the customer is asking for what they see in the market. There are some niche players and some established players that are offering a combination of all these services, and I think it's very, very good for the customer to have all these options.
Now, any industry which becomes more of a cost leadership game versus a differentiation game always has this fight with, you know, keeping the lights on or keeping the cost low and things of that nature. Is there a reason why it got transformed into a cost leadership game? Is it the very nature of the beast, or is it something that we did from a fundamental business processes or the way we run this business altogether or run this industry that it converted into a cost leadership? Because if there was differentiation, I think people would not mind paying more.
Well, I think it's a problem of overcapacity. I mean, we are looking at the marketplace, specifically, I mean, domestically in Mexico and Mexico to the U.S., which is one of our biggest concerns and our top markets, there is overcapacity. Everybody's flying. So if you are not the cost leader, you're not going to be preferred as the first option. And then obviously you have to, there are very small, slight ways to different yourself in this industry today, specifically with some of the old technology that some of us have inherited over the past years. But I would say cost is very important when you have overcapacity, but as as the industry is progressing, and all of this is a cycle, we'll start getting the results from the investments that some of us have done in the recent years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that, again, it's back to the first question of the customer experience and how do you make that customer experience a value one rather than just a pure cost one. And a lot of that has got to do with how easy you are to do business with from the minute you get on the website till you show up at the gate, check in your bag, know your bag is going to arrive, get your seat, the services on board. We have TV on all seats. A lot of people like that, particularly for the medium to long haul flights. So I think the differentiation, you have to look at new products and services that you can give to your customer that's above and beyond just basically a bare seat.
Now, with the fact that it is a kind of sensitive industry, any small disruption, may it be a political one, may it be something which is related to security or fuel prices, it suddenly has a very big impact. Now, IT does actually help you plan things and, you know, it gives you the business intelligence and things of that nature. Is there a way or are there ways by which we are able to become a little desensitized using IT?
Well, I can start with that one. I believe that the true business of IT, particularly IT organizations that have got a thought leadership, is basically to kind of elevate the thinking above just doing IT projects, but looking at doing business transformation using technology. And as an example, I believe that with good analytics and good intelligent engines, you can look at a lot of the variables. Yes, some of the instant ones that happen, like, you know, a big snowstorm that you may have some control over because obviously it has been forecasted, but this turning around a fleet of an airport is closed is a different question. But yes, certainly looking at things like fuel, looking at what competitive analysis, competitive intelligence of your competitors, and also using information technology to drive cost out of your operational systems and to make them more efficient. So, you know, in other words, to have IT focused on the safety and the regulatory issues, then after that, customer satisfaction, revenue, and operational efficiencies, then I think information technology, as part of those transformational efforts, will bring value.
Would you think that we have just about done everything that you just mentioned or to our level best, and still we don't see the incremental value that it is providing, or it did provide some incremental value, but then everybody else kind of followed suit, and now you don't have so-called a competitive advantage? Because usually, I guess, we put IT in place for two reasons. One, either to optimize our operations, other is for competitive advantage. So we optimize to the best possible manner, and we are at that point yet where we could not invest more in it because we don't see enough incremental value. We cannot justify it. Other is that the competitive advantage is short-lived because I think every airline company had deep pockets, I would say, or it had the know-how that what all would it take, and they have come to the same level. So it becomes a level playing field pretty quickly.
I think that question can be answered in two ways. I mean, first of all, technology, everybody has access to the highest technology available, and everybody has access to the optimizers and all these magnificent tools that are there in the market to handle operations and irregular operations and all of those things. I think the true innovation and the true differentiation is the use of technology, is the how you innovate on your business model using the latest technologies. I mean, you can have a very, very old technology, and if your business processes and the way you are treating your passengers is simple and easy to understand by every single agent, then you're going to have a competitive advantage. I mean, that's the way we see it in Mexicana today. In the middle of this turnaround, what we thought a couple of years ago when we started was let's go back to the defendable core. Because we have so many old systems and so many old processes. Bear in mind that Mexicana has been around for 86 years. We are like the fourth long-living airline in the world. And some of our processes come from probably 80 years ago. I'm not kidding. And so simplifying, I think that's a overused word, but simplifying the process is very, very important in order to allow your IT to make a difference in the in the way you treat your customers, or you even use it for operations.
Actually, I would totally agree with that. I mean, while Frontier has been around about 13 years, it has been very much an entrepreneurial approach to getting things done, and is now, after it passed out $1 billion in revenue last year, is moving into the more mature or semi-mature, semi-structured world where more investments need to be made in, indeed, business processes, fine-tuning the ones that got us to where we are. And also, I totally agree with your statement on simplification. In fact, kind of, I think one of the rules of thumb that I learned a long time ago is before you start automating anything, you should first eliminate everything you can eliminate, then simplify what's left, and then automate it. And with that approach, you can continually get better efficiencies out of the operation.
Now, this industry is very, very complex. I mean, everybody adds complexity to every single process. I mean, when you start talking about security, the airports, interlining between airlines, code sharing, baggage handling, through check-in. I mean, all of those things that that the customer takes for granted sometimes are very, very complex to solve in the back office or in the background. So, I mean, the customer is used to the service that the complexity brings, but they don't like complexity. I mean, when you get to a ticket counter, and suddenly they say, no, you cannot check in into this counter because you have a Mexican passport and our kiosk cannot read Mexican passports because the barcode is blah, blah, blah. I mean, you get frustrated. I mean, I was just returning yesterday from Washington, D.C., and I got this argument from a lady with some other airline, not with Mexicana, because we don't fly to Washington, D.C. I mean, that gets frustrated. It's frustrating to have those arguments because you don't understand why the airlines have to make everything so complex and so complicated at all levels. And what the customer wants is simplicity. I mean, they don't see the airport experience or the airline experience as part of as a fundamental part of their trip, even if it's a business trip or a leisure trip. I mean, travelers don't think of the airline experience as the key part unless it's an unpleasant experience. Now, if that is the case, then it becomes the center of their problems. But if everything goes correctly, I mean, they're focusing more on where they're visiting, the business they're doing, the vacation they're taking, or the tours they're enjoying, but not the airline or the airport experience.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's talk about, say, the basic things. When we spoke about, you know, simplifying the process, and both Jerry and Santiago mentioned that you've got to simplify things for you to make them effective. So as IT leaders, if you are approached saying that, hey, you use show your magic with IT, what are the typical things that you push back on? And say, go get these business processes fixed, get these things taken care of before we would allow the IT to become more effective, or it will enable, or it will allow IT to become more, to make your business processes more productive. But for that, you have to set the right platform, if you will. So let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is remaining airborne through IT, and our guests for today's show are Jerry Cody and Santiago Antieron. Jerry is the Vice President and CIO of Frontier Airlines Holding, and Santiago is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Mexicana Airlines. Before the break, we touched the item where you are there working with a business unit leader, and he comes back to you and says, help me using IT fix all these things and show your magic. And you've got to go and immediately push back and say, these are these X number of things that you got to go get them fixed on the business process level and overall mindset level, things of that nature of your business people, before I would bring IT into the picture. So I know this must be a daily dialogue happening, but if you were to do an inventory, what are the typical areas where you see people are coming and they come to IT way too quickly before they've had that their own act together? Sorry?
Well, I think one of the reasons this happens is that if IT haven't had a regular and continuous dialogue with their customers, they probably do not have a good understanding of what IT can and cannot do. And, of course, many of us in this business know that IT is by no means a magic bullet or a silver bullet in any way. In fact, some of the larger projects like large-scale ERP projects take a long, long time to deploy. And in the airline industry, again, I think as we talked about earlier, many of the processes are fairly dated and fairly outmoded, and many of them have been replicated from previous industries. So I think when we look at big projects here, we now have a good dialogue on mapping out the business processes, getting a visual chart of what they are, where are all the handoffs, where are all the hinges, where are all the breakages, and then look at how do you apply technology to continuously improve those. So get them to a level, but then continue to do continuous improvement thereafter so that nobody's expecting that it's a, you know, the minute the project is done, everything is hunky-dory. It will be at a baseline level for ongoing continuous improvement. We take that approach here. I work with the COO, CEO of the company, CFO on a regular basis. And it's a dialogue, and yes, it sometimes, I'm sure, is frustrating to the business when it's just can't do it now. But I think in the long run, it's the best for the company.
Yeah, in Mexicana, I mean, we have evolved this process over the last 2 years, and I would say that the IT organization has evolved to the process. I mean, basically, what we do here is we integrated the IT function with a bunch of other areas around Mexicana that were doing transformation. I mean, today we call it the transformation office or the transformation area. And basically what we try to do with the different business leaders is to define what is it that we need to do. And we do not embark into anything unless we can answer very, very simple questions like, is this going to make our product better? Is this going to increase our revenue or is this going to decrease cost? Obviously, most of the things fall in a couple or all of these buckets. But what we're trying to do here in the transformation area is to sort of have the rules of governance of this process. Now, once we are in agreement of something that needs to be done, what we do the most pushback on the IT area is for the business leaders to really understand what is it that they want. I mean, that is one of the key things for us. If the business area does not understand exactly what is it that they're looking for, we're going to have a failed project. Because at the end of the project or in the middle of the project, they're going to come back and want something different or tweak things a little bit, and that creates a chaos in terms of cost, in terms of timing. So managing the whole process of transformation from what you need to do, how you do it, and then executing, and then be very disciplined in the way we execute, that has been the key to the reshaping of the IT function in Mexicana.
So would you say that a business unit leader, when they approach you, they are not aware of their own business processes, or they don't know where to innovate and what are the possible areas where they could even refine their own processes before IT could jump in? I mean, are we there to educate the business unit leaders to do the job that they are supposed to be doing themselves?
The problem we face is that they understand their business, but they don't understand the complexity of all the interactions that we have in the airline business. I think the airline business and the way IT works inside an airline is one of the most complicated environments, for sure, that I have seen. I mean, I would compare it to banking and insurance and some other very complex environments. So, I mean, obviously they know they know what they want to get to, but they don't understand the obstacles sometimes. So you really need to have a very good mixture of people in the IT and the business area that understand all the complexities, but that have an attitude of changing. And that's the most difficult thing to have. People with change attitude, but that have been in the industry for a long time to understand where are the obstacles and where are the difficulties.
Yeah, and I would say, just to kind of piggyback on that, I mean, I certainly have no question that the business people know how their business is run. I think a lot of it is, however, in some cases, kind of sort of the tribal knowledge impact, where there's people out there that get the job done. So if the processes aren't clearly mapped and clearly kind of build activity-based management charts for the higher-level abstractions of the processes, I'm not sure that it's possible to visualize how much your total cost of a process operation is. So I think working with people on doing that and not making it a huge kind of science practice, but really picking some key processes and showing how, knowing what they are, what the control limits are, what are the drivers. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's only a few ways to change processes, and one is by changing the inputs to the process. So I think by making that information visible and valuable, I think it's a different dialogue than talking about an abstract re-engineering exercise.
The other thing, key factor here is, if you look at airline operations, I mean, every day they start, and every day is a crisis, and every day is a regular operation, and every day there is something new. So it is very difficult for the operations areas, both on the airline operations and the customer service, to be focused on changing the process on the mid and long term. So in our case, the transformation area is key for that. I mean, we have the ability and we have the empowerment to look at the processes from outside and say, okay, this is what you're doing every day, and that is keeping us out of a crisis, and that is keeping us with the lights on and in operation. But we really need to be thinking about simplifying A, B, and C, because otherwise we'll never be more efficient. And I think that's a dual role that plays very well if you have good communications. I mean, obviously these areas need to understand. We need to focus on the day to day, and you need to have support areas that can focus more on the strategic and long term initiatives.
So, talking about, you know, all the changes that you want to make, and of course IT is at the forefront of innovation wherever it can bring about the same. The money aspect, the dollars and cents, which it requires, also is in question, especially in fact, there are so many industries which are thriving, and even then, IT is being closely watched because there have been so many fiascos. And all the more in IT, in your airline industry, IT must be watched very, very carefully now, given that we are already short of funds and we don't want to take chances more. That must be putting you as IT leaders in a tough spot that you cannot bring about quantum leaps in, you know, productivity and things of that nature till the time you innovate, and for innovation you need funds. And when you go back to executive management, they might be looking in a very skeptical manner on whatever you're proposing. So how do you win that battle?
Well, I can start, obviously, being relatively new to my job. I kind of would agree with the kind of inputs you gave. That is that most companies, I've worked with some very large companies with very large profits, and they were watching what they were putting in IT. So certainly companies who are on very tight margins are watching where they spend money all the time. And I guess for me, it's again kind of continuing the dialogue with the C-level leadership of the company and understanding where technology can bring value to their business processes and help them make better decisions, more near real-time decisions, better understanding the dynamics that are out there, rather than just heavy infrastructure investments in lower-level hardware, etc., that they really don't see value from, even though it's kind of what's needed to keep the lights green. I think it's got to the stage in some of the industries, and I've spoken with some of my peers in the industry, where it's clearly understood that investments have to be made to help make the kind of e-customer experience a much better experience than it is today. So I think it's better understood than it was a few years ago, but it is an ongoing battle always for investment, regardless of what IT you're in, as long as you're outside the core operations of a company.
Yes.
Well, in our case, I think we have been very lucky. About a year ago, I sat down with our CFO and drafted a plan, and that plan called out for two major investments. One of them was back office. We needed to change the way we were doing our back office, otherwise we would be swamped in work and in inefficiency. And the other was the customer service and the way we treat our customers and how we can do business intelligence on the whole environment. Now, the lucky thing was that CFO is now our CEO, and so that is his transformation agenda and his transformation plan, and we have been executing that fairly efficiently. I mean, today we have mostly changed our back office and are working on starting the front office and customer service part of the business. And again, you need to have leadership understand the benefits of doing that. Obviously, we have spent money on keeping the lights on, but about I would say 80% of our investment is to do new things. Obviously, that compares with expense that is keeping the lights on. And I would say we have been able to change the scale from expense to investment in the last year. But again, it requires understanding that this is a crucial part of the airline business, and that if you don't invest, you're never going to get out of the inefficiencies and the legacy mindset and the legacy process.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the cool factors. We just spoke about, like, kiosks being created and other, you know, customer service or the experience, if you will, we are trying to alter to make things better. But I am just trying to challenge where if you have just a cool factor in there, is that what your typical customer is looking for? If we were to profile a typical customer, what is their need? Why would they stick to a given airline? Is there any stickiness or is there any loyalty left, given that anyone can go and look at the cheapest possible ticket and get almost the same features that everybody else also offers? So let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Money up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Succeeding in your business isn't just about making a living. It's a way of life. Hosts Cliff Inenko and Susan Wilson-Salovic discuss the practical as well as the not-so-practical aspects of owning your own business. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Succeeding in Your Business, right here on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is remaining airborne through IT, and our guests for today's show are Jerry Cody and Santiago Antunon. Jerry is the VP and CIO of Frontier Airlines, and Santiago is the Executive Vice President and CIO of Mexicana Airlines. We spoke about cool factor just before the break. We are talking about IT innovations, but here it is more towards creating a self-checking kiosk or giving you vacation offers or knowing what drink you had last time, so you go back and greet a person by their name. So there are so many things that are being tried to see if you can get a customer loyalty, and that would, of course, mean a sustained business and profitability. But is there something in this which would actually bring a customer back? Because they are the ones who are paying the bills.
Well, let me take a shot at that. In Mexicana, we think that pricing and the combination of pricing and product is very, very important. I mean, people are going to fly if you have the destination, if you have the right timing or schedule, and if you have a good product in general, a good reputation, safety, etc. So one of the first things that we invested in is transparency. This is a very debated topic around the industry, because in the past you would hide the fare structure from the customer so you would get advantage and have more yield on those passengers. In Mexicana, we took the decision, and today Mexicana.com is one of the most transparent websites around. I mean, you can go in there and it will tell you that your flight is cheaper if you fly one day before or one day later and come back in a different schedule. And that is something that we heavily invested in, and we took the chances, and today we are looking at the customer's feedback, and they all love it. I mean, once you get to understanding what the transparency means and how you can benefit from that, in general, 80% or above of our respondents in the surveys that we do on the web tell us that they love transparency. So that is one of those cool things that you can introduce to benefit the passenger directly. And again, you can only do that if you start with the foundation of your systems being able to take on those features.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think, and you may already have this in Mexicana, but where you can do direct target marketing to individuals, like people based in Denver don't want getting special offers for flights leaving New York. There are many people who are available very short notice to travel, so if you have undersold seats, is there some way you can, you know, via almost cell phone or BlackBerry, be able to say, you know, round ticket to San Francisco for X amount of dollars, yes or no, you've got 5 minutes to respond. I think some of the e-check-ins that's happening, I've seen where Air Canada don't use any kind of paper boarding passes anymore. A lot of it has been electronified with barcodes that are around their cell phones that they can be read by the gate readers. I know that that's not allowed in the U.S. yet, but obviously cell phone technology throughout the world is ahead of where it is here in the U.S. But I think a lot of those things that make it easier. My belief is that, sort of like Santiago said, if you have a good product and you have a decent price, and you have a good safety, and people will travel with you, and they will come back. But I think people dislike airports far more than anything else. So how do you make that experience of getting through the airport? Because you'll get blamed even if it's the TSA lines here in the U.S. that are long. So how do you help maybe make that better so that they will look to you as a company who's helped facilitating, get them on the plane to their destination in a safe and secure fashion?
Yeah, for any repeat customer, their biggest concern is that getting through the airport as fast as possible. I mean, we have introduced several interesting things. For example, in the Miami airport, we introduced a concierge service because we have our flight leaves at 7 a.m. in the morning from Miami to Mexico City, and a lot of people were flying that very constantly and had to wake up very early. And we introduced this service where you would call Mexicana the night before, and they would have your boarding pass ready and everything ready. I mean, bear in mind that this is an international flight and you have to go through all the regulations. But still, people appreciated that they had an additional hour to wake up and to get prepared for the airport. And we have introduced that fairly successfully in some airports. Again, in Miami, it's working very, very well. And it has to do with more than technology. I think it's with process, understanding the customer. Again, when you're dealing with millions of customers, then you have to automate those things. So, but it always helps to pilot those little gimmicks or cool things in a very controlled environment, and that you understand what is the value to the passenger, just rather than just throwing out a lot of technology and a lot of expense in gadgets.
Yeah.
So for the folks who feel that IT could actually help, save us, there are so many factors that are working against the airlines industry, where we saw the economic downturn last couple of years, and right now also people are talking about recession and things of that nature. It may be just a rumor, but all of these things, and of course you've got fuel prices that have risen, and then you had the initial attacks, terrorist attacks. So there's so many things which have impacted the customer sentiment, and all that is working against the very industry, and IT can only do so much. So how much ownership can IT leaders and the whole IT crew can take to bring about that radical change so that we can again look at airline industry and we can be proud of how it's growing and how it's successful? Santiago?
Well, that is a very difficult issue. I mean, obviously, all the security issues around the airports are very difficult to get around. I mean, you can help passengers make their journey better, but I think there's so much politics and and other aspects into that. I mean, I don't know whether checking more people would be safer than not. So rather than getting into that argument, I mean, what we have to do is just help our customers and give them the right amount of service and the right amount of checking. I mean, if they want to check on the web, have them ready to do that. One of the aspects that I'm more interested today with the industry, and again I said this briefly at the beginning, is the overcapacity, and I think there's going to be a lot of consolidation, especially in Mexico. We are seeing a lot of new companies, a lot of low cost carriers. I think in the last year we have had somewhere between 4 to 6 new entrants here in the market, and again that's only domestic carriers, and also we have seen the U.S. carriers divert some of their capacity, domestic capacity, to Mexico because, I mean, it's so close. Why not do it? So, I mean, dealing with this overcapacity is going to be the challenge for the next couple of years, and how consolidation affects us. I am expecting to have very interesting consolidation in the next 1 year for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the general trend that the market is talking about, in whether consolidation is via partnerships, mergers, etc. But from the business side, obviously I'm new to the business, so I can't really comment on that. But my view from representing Frontier here is that I think we have a very good product. We have a product. We have a very, very loyal customer base, particularly out of the Denver hub. Our prices are fair, and obviously we are in competition with other airlines. So I think from an information technology perspective, to answer your question, I think what I have to do is make the customer experience be what they want it to be. So as Santiago said, if people want to check in via the web, check in bags, you know, whatever they need to do, they should be able to do it that way. If they need to do it at kiosks at the airport, if they want to use any other technologies, we should be in a facility, we should be able to facilitate that within the affordability model of the company. For now, that's what I believe we can do, I can do here, because I think we already have a good company and a good product.
Now, talking about, let's dig deeper into the very technology innovations that have happened, which are independent of airlines, but definitely this industry can leverage that to cut costs. And at the same time, it would also bring some investments that have to be made up front to realize those benefits. So we're talking about SOA, service-oriented architecture, and virtualization. Both of them touch almost every aspect of the organization in today's world, and they definitely can, if done right, bring tremendous value. But who goes and belts the cat and says, hey, I need a couple of million dollars to make this happen?
Well, that's a very interesting topic. I mean, for us, it's a nightmare having to integrate all the systems. I mean, we have about 108 applications the last time we checked, and connecting all of those things is a nightmare. For us, the word interface means millions of dollars and a lot of time. So SOA is really something that could really help us if it's really out there. I mean, we have been checking around with some of the vendors, and the problem in this industry is that it has been captured by a lot of monopolistic forces in the past. I mean, airports and technology vendors in this industry act like a duopoly or oligopoly sometimes, and they're not very keen on introducing these new technologies. But I think everybody, we will have to change at some point. We have been introducing new technologies and getting around the market forces of the traditional airline technology companies. And for sure, I see a very nice future on SOA and some of the new technologies to enable us to create new business rules. Because again, the innovation is in the way we will use IT. And if we can create business rules, I mean, even from the business analyst, rather than having a programmer go in and have a large project of coding, having a business analyst create new rules, and those rules are defined as services or in a very nice architecture, where you interchange web services. I mean, that I think is the future, and I think we will be looking at it in the next couple of years. I definitely feel very strong about SOA.
Yeah, actually, so do I. In fact, several years ago, I wrote some papers on SOA. I thought it was going to get its legs much faster than it has, and I certainly agree with Santiago, being new to the airline industry, that some of the legacy suppliers of services are way behind in their technology. Some of them look like technologies from the 1960s and 70s, and while many say they're SOA compliant, that's obviously not a very meaningful term. But I think what web services and service-oriented architectures, event-driven architectures, will allow us as CIOs of our companies to do will be to take more control of how we manage the information flow and build enough middleware that will keep us independent of many of the back-end systems that are out there today. I also think that will allow us to capture more information about our customers and use that information to upsell and cross-sell. So from the SOA perspective, I believe that's certainly out there. Same thing from virtualization or even moving on to grid computing and getting the larger scale applications to run in a grid environment so that you can guarantee the response times that is needed, the speed of transaction processing, and the ability to switch your infrastructure around depending on what's going on rather than having to build out for your peaks and then be idle for your lows. There's so many opportunities there, but it's going to take a few years and indeed investment to get there.
With that being said, can we say that IT is not, of course, the weakest link, but maybe one of the weaker links which may be keeping airline from achieving its true potential, given that we are still living with those legacy systems and we have not been able to consciously, you know, make the required changes over the years?
Well, I think it's a problem of the industry characteristics. I mean, this is a very cyclical industry. Everybody has been in this industry talks about these cycles. And so, I mean, for years, the airlines have had to invest when things are good, they have money to invest, but then they invest for the downturn, and then the downturn comes in, and then they don't have any money to invest. So, I mean, breaking that cycle is something that needs to be done. And the newer the technology, I mean, with the new technology, I think that's more feasible than in the past. I mean, talking about on-demand services and virtualization and grid, I mean, those are the things that in the past it was very, very difficult to have, and you had to have these contracts with vendors for 10-year contracts that need to amortize all the investment in the technology. I mean, today, some of the servers where we are running our ERP and back office applications, I mean, if they go wrong, they just throw into the garbage and change them for a new one. I mean, that technology is really changing the way we look at the investments for the down cycle or the up cycle of the industry. So I think in general, technology is changing the way we will do things, and I just wish the technology vendors in this industry would get their act together quicker.
Now, talking about finding more about what a customer wants and what our internal operational people want, do you think business intelligence is playing a role, or has it matured to a point in the airlines industry that it can really give you an insight so that you can become a just-in-time kind of operation, if you can possibly do that, and also give the right level of customer service and also streamline the internal operations to another degree? Gary?
Well, again, business intelligence in whatever format and instantiation we look at it, I mean, I think that there's been recently some articles and books written by Dr. Tom Davenport out of Babson College on computing and analytics, and he uses an airline industry as well as the gaming industry as some of his case studies. So there's no question with the right amount of analytics and the people that can understand them, which is equally as important, because an analytic engine and its rules are only as good as the ability to be interpreted and executed on from a pure business decision ultimately. I think there's no question that will become, certainly here at Frontier, one of our strategies going forward to build out that whole message kind of enterprise architecture and business intelligence and data mining and analytics
Yeah, I think to get the real benefit of business intelligence, you need to have a very simple data architecture, very streamlined systems. I mean, to have your back office and front office working seamlessly. And then you need to have a culture of business intelligence on the workers, on the people doing the job. I mean, you're not going to have computers every time, especially in airline. I mean, you're gonna have flight attendants, you're gonna have people at the counters, and you need to make the interface between the business intelligence and how you're gathering all that data and telling them what needs to be done with this passenger. I mean, this is a very valued passenger because A, B, and C. But again, if you do not have the right interfaces for the people to give customer service to the passenger, then you're not benefiting or having the full potential of these tools. So I think, at least in Mexicana, the way we're doing it is we're building on the foundation so that we have a very simple architecture in terms of data, in terms of services, and then from that, focusing a lot on the change management of the way we do things in the human interaction with passengers. So, because the risk could be that using all these tools, we go into more complexity and more intricate rules and more difficulties in getting the exceptions. I mean, every problem that you have with an airline is because of an exception. So getting rid of those exceptions is a challenge. And I think that you have to be very, very careful with business intelligence and all these modern tools, because you could end up having more exceptions and then people will not be able to handle them. So you would have to make sure that the computers handle all the exceptions, and I think that's impossible.
Yes, I would agree. I think the biggest risk with business intelligence and many of those intelligent engines today is ultimately they're powered by either the ability of humans to think about what could be the outcomes, or as Santiago said, some kind of an interruption that really wasn't planned for anyway. So best case scenario, it can help you replan, but you have to be careful that it's not a panacea to solving everything.
Now, in the style of work that, like you can say, a style of change, if you will, that we have to use, or style of bringing about change, would that be more of a revamp mode, or would you say this should be more of a CQI, continuous quality improvement kind of mode, or don't rock the boat mode?
I am a proponent of the revamp. I mean, some of these things that we are looking at today, some of these old legacy systems, architectures, databases and data structures, I mean, you cannot do continuous work on them. You have to throw them away and build from scratch, because otherwise you will not have a clean architecture. I mean, you have so many dependencies and so many complexities. So, I mean, we started trying to work our way with continuous improvement, and today we are looking at, in a very piecemeal fashion, at throwing things out, especially complexity. I mean, we have almost like a prize for people to get rid of complexity and get rid of things that do not add value to the passenger.
Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think Santiago had said it earlier on, is like in many cases when you get to where, you know, your information is old or stale or your applications are old or stale, you really have to go with some way of doing some kind of leapfrog to kind of get rid of the old and really put in the current leading edge technologies and applications and infrastructure that will support your industry going forward. And I'm a big believer from once you get there, I think I said it earlier on, you know, from once you get to some baseline of execution, then you can apply the principles of Six Sigma or other continuous improvements efforts to continually drive cost out of the structure and improvements and efficiencies. But I would certainly go with the revamp model as well, particularly for some of the older systems.
Now, one last question is regarding any typical M&A situation that you see. We don't see as much M&A happening, but still there have been a few. how can you safeguard and create somewhat a stable environment so that you just don't come back to square one in case there's M&A and you end up in a weakest link issue or a moving target issue in terms of airlines?
Well, traditionally that has been something that you solve with global alliances. I mean, the airline industry is so regulated in terms of mergers and market power, but I think IT plays an important role of that. I said it previously. I think there's going to be consolidation in the airline industry in Mexico for sure. There are so many domestic carriers that somebody will start buying somebody. So I think the role of IT would be to have the right architecture to integrate one or two companies together. And again, if you do IT right for one company, you will do it for the merged company. And I think the key is, again, developing the foundations, be very strict about how you do project management and those things, because a merger is one of those things that require really a lot of people doing their job correctly and executing on time.
Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, my view is you need to have your shop on order regardless of whether there's an M&A or not coming. So I think run your shop, run your IT shop correctly, and everything should be good.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd like to thank you, Jerry and Santiago, for sharing your thoughts about how IT can actually help the airline industry and keep it in the black, that is profitable and at least stay afloat, and also help satisfy the ever-than-before demanding customer. Airline industry as a whole has gone through the turbulent ride over the past few years, and you know, we recently saw that there are signs of recovery. Now, it is prudent to make cautious investments to ensure stability for a future, you know, profitability as well as growth. Now, there are new technologies that we spoke about, SOA, virtualization and the other, which can allow us to get some quantum leaps, but they would require upfront investments. So for IT leaders, this could be a calculated move, but the executive management may see this as a leap of faith. So IT leaders are also being looked up as saviors who can create magic. So, but in order for them to do this magic, they have to have an understanding management, cooperating business unit leaders who also understand what are the limits to which IT can go and help them, and then also have a go-getter crew and an energized crew who can help them realize this dream. Will the airline industry be ever a coveted place to work and boast success stories as we had it happening before? Time will tell. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.